So, welcome everybody to the first podcast in a series about Digital New Institute. These are all about how we're going to innovate in a digital way at the New Institute from now onwards, the coming months and coming years, actually. We're going to give regular updates with various members of people who are working on digital projects, not just myself. I'm Kathy Brickwood, head of the digital program at New Institute. And today I'm talking to Jaap Stronks, who is the head of the online platform.
Hello,
here he is. Hello, Jaap. Yep. Welcome, Jaap. So this will be just the first in a series of podcasts we'll be making about various aspects of digital transformation, new digital projects, and various members of the digital team will be involved in the next few sessions. And this is the first one today. And today we're going to focus on what I think is the most important part of the digital program for the next years, and that's the new corporate website, as it's called, what you would know as the HNI website, which most people probably have heard at the Institute is going to be changed. It's going to be a new website. This has been talked about for a year or so now. But finally, it's going to happen in 2022. Well, it's already happening, to be honest, because we're already working on it for the last year or last half year specifically. And next year, you will actually see, you know, the concrete results developing gradually in the development of a new website. So I think the most important thing we want to talk about today, obviously there's a lot of things to talk about on a new website, all the aspects of it, every department will be involved in that. Some of you already are involved, of course, and it will have to do with all different aspects of the Institute. It's the center point of the whole digital infrastructure at the Institute. But today we're going to focus on a sort of specific aspect, which is really, I think, a key change in how we approach the website in the future, about a whole new way of talking about design and visual design and web design and what that means for how our new website will work, how it will be for visitors to use, how it will be for colleagues to use, people who actually have to work with the website and make content, and how all different departments will interact with that. And the basis of that is the whole approach to design that we've chosen with this new website. So I actually want to ask Jaap, who is really working on this, you know, every day, how would he describe, in general, the new approach to the new corporate website?
It's a great question, Kathy. But before we start off, do you think everyone at the New Institute already knows who you are and who knows who I am? You have been working slightly for a longer bit of time than myself, but maybe we should yes, start off with a short introduction. So you did mention your job title, but for the people who are not entirely mm-hmm. clear about that, maybe you could elaborate a little bit about on that, and so yeah, I can do that myself as well.
Great idea. Yes,
I just think figuring this podcast thing out, of course, as you may know.
Yes, you might have noticed. Yeah. Yeah. yes, well, as I said, I work in the program department officially, but I feel like I work for the whole Institute, really, looking at digital strategy and digital content and trying to build up this new hybrid house approach to the Institute, which everyone has been involved in the last year. And so for the website, I'm officially, I think they were called the projectleider, as they say in Dutch, but actually work in a very, in a small team with Jaap and also Mark van Hoorn, who is not in this podcast session today, but we'll speak to him in another podcast in the future, who's also obviously for the ICT and very involved in the project from that point of view. Yeah, I think that's the best thing for me to say for now. And Jaap hasn't been with us very long. I've been with us as long as the Institute has existed as New Institute. And right. Jaap has a fairly new person at the Institute.
Yeah, I've only joined the new Institute since March 1st of this year. So not too long. And I work officially at the marketing and communication department as the online online product manager or online platform manager was one of the titles that that was were mentioned at first, but officially I'm like an advisor of marketing communication. But mostly I'll be doing my part in helping bringing about the new corporate website. I'm also working on stuff like podcasting on email MailChimp templates and whatnot. And previously I've had my own agency where I also built we built websites predominantly for nonprofits and political parties and journalism enterprises. So not too dissimilar from what we're trying to do here at the New Institute. So I'm looking forward to creating new platforms. And that was just the introduction. And your first question was again, could you repeat that?
Yeah, it was actually how would you describe? Because I'd said at the beginning, we have a new approach to design, and that's what we want to show in the new website. How does that differ from what we maybe did with the previous website, or does that relate to current developments in web design generally?
Yeah, well, I think one thing we should clarify up front, I think, is that we're not just developing a new corporate website, but more generally an infrastructure to build websites with, including the corporate website. And the thing is, modern web development and web design has evolved from earlier stages and is now at the point where it is often more complex, but also more modular. And modularity is, of course, one of the ways in which is a way to deal with complexity by abstracting away and dividing stuff into separate components, so you can so the actual work that you do is more more clear cut and more simple, more manageable. So what I mean is, for example, let's say you have a CMS where you store content, and you have
I'm going to keep interrupting you with these technical things.
Oh, sure, that's great. You have a content management system. So it's a place where you log in and where you publish information. And it used to be the case that that was also the machine, like the piece of software that also published the front end of the of a page, for example, WordPress or Drupal. Drupal is the system that the current corporate website is made with. So that's and that leads to a monolithic structure where you have one application that does a lot of things. So it stores the information into a database. It has an interface for editors to publish and edit and manage content. And it has a system of templates and designs that prescribe how the content should be displayed to users who visit the website. And it has a lot of extra stuff as well, like business logic, how should form submissions be handled, how should images and videos be processed. And that typically leads to very big and complex structures that tend to grow old and unmanageable and outdated and very hard to maintain. And this immediately led to multiple problems, really. For starters, the fact that the website is not the only point of access for a user to come across the content. For example, a mobile application can also be used to read content of, for example, a news website, but that is not that requires a vastly different technology than a normal website. You could also have like a smart speaker that can read stories, and you can actually have multiple websites for different audiences, but that still require access to the same repository of content that is stored somewhere. So fast forward to today. So if you take that idea, where there used to be one big website that did everything, but it that was very complex and hard to maintain, hard to innovate on, because it requires required one system that can do everything, but it can do everything only it didn't do all those things very well. But fast forward to today, and you can you have a slightly a vastly different structure where you can have separate applications for separate functions, but who operate cooperate with each other. So, okay. I think this is interesting for non-technical people as well. You have a CMS where you can log in and manage content, but you can have separate front end, separate websites that people visit that can display that content. And that's very important because you not only have one database for where your content is stored, for example, CMS where you publish information from about your projects and your activities and your events, but you also have content from other sources, for example, your archive, especially for the new institute, we don't all our images that we from our archive are not stored into our CMS. No, they aren't uploaded by web editors. We have vast archives that reside somewhere else entirely. So it's a little bit more. More complex, and I think that's one thing that we will be building a website with a different stack, a different set of applications that work together.
When you say who are you meaning? Because you're not just talking about you and Mark. Can you say a little bit about, maybe it's good, nice for us to say a little bit about the people, the kind of people we're building that with and what their expertise is?
Yeah, well, we had, I'm not sure how it's called in English, an Europese aanbesteding. And we can work with three different agencies who will be building the infrastructure. I'm actually using Google Translate to aanbestedingsprocedure. A tender, of course. Yeah, a tender process.
A European tender, yeah.
And they will be working with us to create this infrastructure. And I think maybe it's enlightening to mention an example of why this decentralized or modular structure is important. For example, if you have your corporate website, you need to display an image. But we have a very extensive set of requirements, but what we want to do with an image. I mean, if you have a large screen, it should be able to, we want to display it in a high resolution, but it should work, it loads quickly on mobile as well. We also have a caption, like a little bit of text, a little bit of copy below the image that says something about the image. We also have an alternative description that we want to show for people who are blind, for example. But we also have copyright information, which can also be like a Creative Commons license that actually explicitly states that you can reuse this without our prior permission, and even remix it and repurpose it. We would also like to display the information about that image, the caption and the license information, in multiple languages. So if you really write down what our requirements are in terms of what we want to do with an image, how we want to store it, how we enable editors to publish and information about that, I wasn't even finished now that I think of it. We also want to say who the image belongs to, or actually who authored the original image. Is it like a designer or an architect or an illustrator or a photographer? We may want to provide a link to a person page that is associated with that person, so you can actually click on the author name or the photographer, illustrator, designer, architect's name to see a list of all other images that we have in our database that are associated with that person. So so if you take that into account, we want to be able to do all that and in a user-friendly way, in an accessible way. But we do not only want to do that on our own corporate website. If we have a project website in the future with an entirely different visual identity, for example, the Biennale website or a project website in cooperation with a third party that requires a different visual identity because the ownership is different, or we have a project website with a big budget and that requires some kind of alternative, unique, customized user experience. We still want to be able to use an image component that can do all the things that I just mentioned. And yes, we shouldn't reinvent the wheel by asking a designer to design a website with images and expecting them to start from scratch and thinking about coming up with all those concepts by themselves. So that's why one of the big differences is that we work with components that can be flexible in terms of the visual identity that is used to display them, like the font styling, colors, and other stuff as well. Maybe it has like a drop shadow, maybe it doesn't. You can mix it and style it in various ways, but the component is an independent entity that could be reused in all our projects. And we have quite a few projects actually, and we also have the other interface. We have several project websites, and we expect to have more of them in the future. But this image component is just one example. We have for example a video player. We don't want to use a YouTube or a Vimeo as an external video service with an embedded player, because if we use that, we also allow users to be tracked by those companies. We prefer to have to use our own video service. It's called Mux. We already use it for our live streams, where we upload our videos ourselves and have our own player without having to rely on commercial third-party services. So which allows us to offer a better user experience, be more privacy friendly, and also do more advanced things in terms of captions and maybe a floating tile of video in the left corner, even if you scroll down. So that should be a component as well. So the entire thing is that we want to have an infrastructure where we design components that can be reused in various environments, and so I think that's one of the main differences in terms of how we approach design, is that we have a very bottom-up modular approach where we do not start with like a visual identity or like a visual artist's idea of what the design and look and feel and concept of a website should be and start from there. I think that's a big departure, I guess.
So what would you say to a lot of people who might get really scared now hearing all this and thinking, oh, this sounds like we're going to have a really boring website and it's going to look really boring for people to use. And is that now everything? Are we just doing this because it's technically more sensible? Or what's going to be the end result? What are people actually going to notice from this when they're using the website? So people at the Institute working on it, and also people, you know, the public, the audience.
Yeah. Well, for starters, I think you can do the most exciting things when you start with a very clear technical foundation and look at what the possibilities are from a technical standpoint. And I think, websites are so enormously complex that we have to rely on conventions to a certain extent.
Can you give an example of that?
Well, for example, the way like a main menu works, like a navigation menu, or the way search works, the way that the ideal amount of letters on a line of text is for a perfect readability. Mm-hmm. And what the line height is for the type of text, how video players work. There is a vast amount of knowledge already out there, and that's being made available to us by all kinds of UX and design and technical conventions that you need to embrace.
Yeah.
But embracing conventions without just blindly will lead to boring websites. And I think the entire idea is that you have to know which conventions you need to embrace and which you need to reject, either because they are too boring or because they are actually bad UX patterns, like all these cookie walls and pop-up messages that entice you to leave your email address, etc. Not all UX patterns are have become conventions because they reflect some universal truth about how digital information is published and disseminated and displayed in a perfect way, but you do have to start from there, I think, because mm-hmm. you also have a limited budget, and we need to and I understand that you want to create a customized user experience, and you want to display and show what your unique identity is and what your unique perspective on the world is, and that should be somehow be made visible in your website design and the user experience. But in order to actually do that, you need to rely on the proven solutions for all the main problems that you have. And the problem is like how do we make available all the news articles and all the events that we have, and we need to make that available in a user-friendly way, and people need to be able to navigate in various ways. And there are so many problems that you need to solve, and you need to rely on proven solutions to those common problems in order to reserve your resources to create customized solutions for your own unique problems related to your own identity, your special content, and the special specific configuration of overlapping and distinctive audiences and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, realizing that listening to you and thinking about all this, there's so many issues involved that I would like to discuss about the new website. We haven't, you know, we're just focusing on this one thing today, and there's so many questions people will have, or we have ourselves, that we haven't managed to talk about. We mentioned them briefly now in passing, but I mean, one thing relates to what you just said, I think, also is this question of accessibility, which is a huge word, but also, you know, a big part of our strategy around the new website to make content and everything more accessible for different kinds of visitors, also visitors with various impairments, visual or audio impairments, for example. And it's one of the things which has really came up in a lot of sessions we organised, you know, a while ago from within the organisation. What is the biggest issue that people would like to see addressed with a new website? And that was accessibility and usability.
Yeah, I think what the ultimate proof of a successful website is, I think in many cases, maybe especially at the New Institute, is like that professionals and like designers and managers who look at the website see something special, especially the front page, and they want to be proud of what they see and that it looks special. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So the successful website is a usable application that is used by users. And I think that's, maybe that's something we need to learn a little bit. And I thought part of this also comes down to learning the position of a designer is in the process. Like, if you design a bridge, you're a designer. You're either the architect that has the total vision of how it looks and how it works, and it has your signature on it, or you're just the painter. So you have to be the person in charge. At the front and at the front of the process, or you're only at the back, only like painting it. And because when you're building a bridge, you can't like move it like a couple of meters to the left or to the right when you're already started building it. Whereas when you're building digital applications, you can, and probably you do that quite often. So that's why with software, the dominant methodology of creating applications is called agile, as distinct from the waterfall approach, where you have first a research phase and a design phase, then the construction phase, and then checking things phase, and then just maintenance. Whereas with an agile approach, you start with a working proof of concept, like a minimum viable product. When you're building a car, for example, you start with a skelter, and it has to work. And then you build like a normal car, and then you build that sports car, and the design is just the end product, not a maquette or like a paper design that you create beforehand. Design is the development. There is no distinction. So it's a collaborative process, and it's but that does tend to be perceived as a loss of power and status for visual designers who are used to being able to dictate how it looks and how it works. But that just leads to very bad websites. Actually, in my experience, it's the one thing that you need to prevent is that you have to build a website where a visual designer has drafted a mock-up of how the website should look and tries to push it, influence the development process towards making it look similar to what they have in mind, because that almost invariably goes against all kinds of usability principles and accessibility standards and whatnot.
And of course, we are an institute for, amongst other things, design, and a lot of people probably be very curious and, okay, what's this actually going to look like, and how are we going to involve the aspect you just talked about, and the fact that we will have a new visual identity or a new corporate identity for the institute by the time the new website is launched the first version of it. So these are all issues which we have to deal with now as a project team of the new website, you know, how it will link with a new graphic corporate identity as well, and that will influence who is involved and at what point, and in how exactly the website will look, the corporate website will look.
Maybe that's something we should elaborate a little bit on, because there will be a new visual identity, but that will be developed sometime in the early next year. And we don't have the privilege of, or should want the privilege of waiting for that. So we will be building a first version of the corporate website that is due to launch by January of next year. Whereas the new visual identity is only will be available for using for improving and creating a new visual look and feel. That's a bad word, look and feel, like a new visual identity for the website and the user interface and user experience based on the new visual identity that will be made some months after that, by April or June, for example. So but that's perfectly possible with an evolving infrastructure that should be should work with multiple designs anyway. Like we said at the beginning, the components that we're building should be able to be used with for other applications with a custom visual identity anyway. So that should not be a problem. Yeah. And it will be an evolving process anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you say, as you say, the thing you this what you talked about in the beginning, the modular thing, the components, and what you just mentioned is all to do with this idea of flexibility, which was very important to us as a starting point for the new website. That and also you could also say that's also linked to the idea of sustainability as well, which has a lot of different meanings with also relating to the new website. But in this case, you know, building a system now which is very flexible and for the long term is what we're really focusing on now with the new website. That's the big difference, I would say. And you just mentioned, which is a very exciting point, that probably what most people actually want to know about the new website is, when is it going to be finished? And you mentioned now that the date of January 2022, and
it's never going to be finished.
Of course not. So that's maybe fun, interesting to quickly go into, and just to add, also, you know, it's now October 2021 and January is not very far away. And maybe we should just finish this by saying, or you could quickly say, you know, what have we done? Where are we now in the whole process? And what could people, for example, sort of expect to see in January?
Yeah. Well, just to clarify, I was only slightly joking by saying that it will never be finished.
Yes.
The idea is, of course, that we will continue to work on and develop the and innovate on the website and the website infrastructure and its various components indefinitely. Because in the new approach, we will also be able to swap out parts of the infrastructure if it becomes outdated and should be replaced with something new. In terms of what people can expect, well, what we have done is we've worked with one of our partners to develop a proof of concept that allows us to publish information into a CMS and display articles on a website, which is not ready for actual publication yet. But it's a nice proof of concept, and we will be evolving on that work in the coming months, so we can launch a website in January that will actually have like information pages, but also news articles and a modular homepage that allows us to display highlights and featured projects, featured articles. Not entirely dissimilar to the way that the current front end of the current the front page does as well, but just differently and with more with a different user interface.
Mm-hmm.
but still in the current visual identity.
Yes.
So and after that we will gradually expand on that. We will be working on the migration of the existing content, which requires that the new infrastructure actually is ready for that to receive all the content and store it in all the right places and so on. And also we'll be adopting the implementing the new visual identity once it is available. So we have our work cut out for us, and
yes.
but yeah, and a good basic corporate website. That's what can be expected from us by January.
Well, that's very exciting, isn't it? Yep, I think everyone's going to be very happy to see that, and they're probably wondering, well, how is it going to affect my work exactly? What do I need to know about the new website in terms of what I have to produce, and particularly around content, for example.
Yeah.
But that's something for a future session,
yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we can say one thing about that, because mm-hmm. like I think it is very much the aim of improving accessibility and usability that applies to editors and other general colleagues and co-workers who have something to do with the website and publishing digital information as well. For example, like one example I would like to highlight is that I'm dying to be able to retrieve a list of upcoming events from our CMS. I mentioned in the beginning that mm-hmm. a CMS can display information and publish it not just on the website but also on the mobile app. A newsletter is a great example as well. I'm dying to be able to fetch the upcoming events from our database and pick and choose which ones I would like to highlight in newsletter, and then generate an HTML template for MailChimp, our email newsletter service, and inject it directly via the programmatically into the MailChimp database, who actually offers a service which I use for other projects already. And then the newsletter will just be generated and waiting for you in your MailChimp environment, ready to be sent to your audience, and even allowing you to edit it slightly if you, on second thought, want to modify it a little bit. That's perfectly fine. So it should. That is just one area in which we will be able to save people a lot of time and effort. I was just editing MailChimp templates before today because one template wasn't responsive, and there's a lot of stuff we want to streamline and make easier for people to do. So that is definitely an area of focus for us to make it easier and allow them to be more effective and do more complex and complicated things if they choose to do so. That's of course the other side of the equation of simplifying things. It's not to make it boring. No, it's about making available your scarce resources, like your time, your energy, and your budget, to do customized, complex, interesting, exciting stuff for things that you want to spend those resources on. And that's, I think, when it comes to simplicity and accessibility and usability, I think that's the part of the equation that tends to be forgotten, but I think that's very important to keep in mind, that is the goal. Simplification is not an end of itself. It allows us to do other stuff because we efficiently dealt with all the boring stuff.
Wow, that's a great way to end, I think. Yep, that's very promising. Sure. Everywhere you're going to save, you're going to transform everyone's lives also with this new system. I think sounds amazing.
Yeah, now we just we should actually deliver on the promise, because, well, of course, we maybe we've heightened expectations a little bit, but that's okay. We can deal with the pressure.
We can manage. We can manage. Yeah. We'll do it. I think we should stop there for today, because, as I said, there's so much to talk about with a new website. We have to organize a few more of these podcasts about specific aspects, I think. And so what I just wanted to say really to finish is that this is, as we said, the first in a series of webcasts about digital transformation, digital projects at New Institute. And if you have any questions, obviously you can always send direct emails, questions to Jaap Stronks or to me, Kathy Brickwood, via just HNI email. And we're going to publish this podcast at a URL, which I can say now. hnix.nl/podcast, and we'll be posting a message on like the internal communication channels to this podcast as well, so all information will be found there as well. So I hope that people are interested, and if you have any questions, please get in touch with me, or with me. This may be the first point of contact. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we'll be looking forward to making a few more around the new website. As I said, it's such a big project, and it has effect to everyone in the organization. So that's the main focus, I think, of this series.
Yeah. All right. I think we did okay for a first try.
A bit nerve-wracking. I'm not used to making podcasts. I'm used to just publishing stuff on the website, but not actually making the podcast myself. So it's quite an experience.
You did great, I think. So
it helped that it was in my native language. And you did well as well. Thank you for that.
No, my pleasure. All right. So bye-bye to the listeners. If we actually include this part into the podcast and
see you next time. Talk to you next time, yes. Yeah.